Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be with you here this morning, to be able to share something of God's Word with you. One of the things I've learned, particularly in the Bible Society, I've been working with the Bible Society, is different ways in which we can engage with the Scriptures. And I've found that really exciting, and it's also something that's been, I think, appreciated by people. However, having said that, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to tell you the story of Zacchaeus, which in a sense has been well led into through those choruses and that singing, that praise we've just sung. But I don't want you to open your Bibles. I want you to keep your Bibles closed, which is in a sense a strange thing for somebody who's worked with the Bible Society and with TFN to say. However, what I want you to do is to listen carefully to the story of Zacchaeus. And then what I want you to do is to tell it to the person sitting next to you as accurately as possible. And this is a time when nobody's allowed to leave now. You know, you can't escape. But what happens is you listen very carefully to the story of Zacchaeus, taken from Luke chapter 19, first 10 verses, as recorded in the NIV version. Okay, so I'll read that story, I'll tell you that story, and then you've got to tell it to the person sitting next to you, as accurately as possible, all right? Well-known story. I won't say you're all comfortable with that, but if you all understood that, okay? So it might be that you've got to do it in threes, that sort of thing, but just work it out. But you need to listen carefully so you can tell the story as accurately as possible to the person sitting next to you. Because the words of Scripture written down for our instruction. Luke, when he wrote the Gospel, carefully researched it. He got witnesses to say, that's what happened. So in a sense, what we've got recorded is accurately what happened. And the reason those words are in are because they are important. Okay? As Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree as Jesus was passing that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this, began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, for this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Okay? One of the ways you can do this is the person sitting next to you can find out where their birthday was on the 1st of January. If it was on the 1st of January, then they've got to tell the story first. If it was on the 31st of December, they can listen. Okay, you get the idea? So the person whose birthday is first in the year has got to start the story. Do you want me to tell your story again? No? Okay, on you go. See how you get on just talking about that, telling the story as accurately as possible to the person sitting next to you. Okay, how have you got on with that? There's obviously a lot of buzz going on. Anybody remember how it started? How did the passage start? Now, Fiona, you're not allowed to take part because you've done this. Okay, how does it start? So as Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Okay, that's quite important. As I've said, this was Luke's recording. He was entered Jericho and was passing through. What does that tell you about Jesus? They hadn't got any intention of staying in Jericho. He was passing through. All right? Again, often in looking at bypass, you need to know the context of this as well. All right? So what happens before, what happens afterwards? What happened before was that Jesus met, well, he didn't meet, there was a beggar sitting by the side of the road who was blind. He shouts out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And so the context of it is Jesus just met somebody who, in a sense, is at the bottom of the social pile. He's a blind beggar. The crowd tries to stop the beggar meeting Jesus. They say, "Shh, shh, be quiet." So we learn there's a crowd with Jesus, and there's a crowd that, in a sense, wants to keep Jesus to themselves. They don't want the beggar involved, and we discover with Zacchaeus they don't want Zacchaeus involved. Zacchaeus is at the opposite end of the social spectrum. Right? He's an employer. He's the chief tax collector. Jesus meets all our needs. I'm going on ahead of myself. Should I really get you to say, there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. Because often folks say, "Oh, if I was to ask you what was Zacchaeus, what would you say? He was a tax collector." Yes, that's usually the response. And no doubt when you were retelling it, you said he was a tax collector rather than the chief tax collector. But a chief tax collector is somebody that's at the top of the pile. He's employing tax collectors. But Jesus meets all these needs. One of the other things that's quite interesting, and sometimes I've done this when I've been looking at this story, is ask folks, because people have these tablets and iPhones and they can access the internet so easily, they say, what does Zacchaeus mean? What does the name Zacchaeus mean? Anybody know what it means? I'm not suggesting you look it up on your tablets at the moment, but what it means is pure. So when Zacchaeus was born, Mom and Dad gave him this name, Zacchaeus. We want you to be pure. How disappointed must his parents have been in what he ended up being? But the crowd's there stopping the blind beggar seeing Jesus, stopping Zacchaeus seeing Jesus. What were the crowd expecting Jesus to do? Again, that's the context we find this in. Jesus is passing through Jericho. Where's he going? Luke chapter 19 gives you a hint in a sense, because it's towards the end of Luke's gospel and he's on his way to Jerusalem. 6 days' time, or thereabouts, he'll be crucified. So what's on Jesus' mind as he's going through Jericho? What's he thinking of? I think I'm going to be crucified. What's the crowd thinking? He's going to be made king. He's going to get rid of these Romans who've been the oppressors. Here comes the Messiah. So blind beggar, get out of the way. Zacchaeus, get out of the way, because we're going to make this Jesus our political liberator. That's what's in their minds. That's what they're thinking. Why have we come here this morning? We wanted to make Jesus, in a sense, do what we want him to do. Do you see what I mean? That in a sense, so easily we can be sucked away to want Jesus to do something that actually he's wanting to do something much bigger, much more significant. What would have happened if Jesus just liberated the people from the Roman occupation? We wouldn't have salvation. We wouldn't have that, the knowledge of God in our hearts. That relationship. He came to something much bigger than that. So Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. The crowd don't let him get through. All right. So a man there by the name of Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. And again, it's the sort of thing, I wonder if you've ever seen somebody important running in the streets. You know, they don't do that. They walk along dignified. I'm just laughing at the thought of seeing Nicola Sturgeon running ahead and climbing a tree. You know, it just doesn't happen. But you see, Zacchaeus was that desperate to see Jesus that he ran and climbed, undignified. You know, again, the question is, how desperate are we to see Jesus? How desperate are we to have that relationship? Not suggest that we should become undignified in it. What I am suggesting is that we need to have that desperation to see Jesus, to have that relationship with him. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked down, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately." Again, one of the things that struck me, I don't know if it struck you in the reading of the passage, was the hurry that's going on. You know, he ran, come down immediately, so he came down at once. Today, salvation has come to this house. Here and now, I give half. You know, the immediacy of what's happening. So often we, again, I'm not saying it's wrong, but so often we take so long to plan these things. When God's saying, now's the day. Come on, now. Now's the time for Zacchaeus and sinners to accept Jesus. Sometimes, again, when we've got more time, I ask the question, how did Jesus, well, maybe I can do it, yes. How do you think Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name? I've got four different answers that I might come up with, okay? So ask the person next to you, just talk about it. How do you think Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name? 2 minutes, right? Quick. Okay, what answers have we got? How do you think Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name? How did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? All right, he told him, all right. How would he tell him? Yes, he could have said, I'm Zacchaeus up here, but he was hiding in the tree. One of the things, again, we find was a sycamore fig tree, which was a leafy tree. Small branches, low branches, so it's easy to climb for a small man like Zacchaeus. Possibility. Yes?
He knew everybody's name.
That, again, is the case. He knows our names. And in some ways, you know,
And he knows us a lot.
Yes. Yes, he knows us. And he calls out because he knows. And there's a sense in which that's taking on the divinity of Jesus here, knowing all our names. That's an important thing. He knows my name, he knows your name. But looking at the humanity of Jesus, saying that, in a sense, this is the human Jesus, how else might he have known his name? Could well have said, look at Zacchaeus, whoa, he's climbing up that fig tree there. That could have been the way that he picked up the name. Notoriety, yes, that in a sense, here's this chief tax collector and everybody knows him. Also, he's an important, significant figure in Jericho. Any other suggestions? Others that you had? Yes, that's right. The same, that in a sense, Jesus knows all our names. That's, again, the case, and that's, I think, a very important point. Who was amongst the disciples? What did Matthew do? It was a tax collector. Maybe Matthew said, look, there's Zacchaeus. A little bit of research also goes back to what happened when Matthew was called to be a disciple. He was Levi, also called Matthew. What did he do when he was called to be a disciple? Luke?
He left immediately.
But what did he do? You see, again, Luke chapter 5, when you do a little bit of kind of research, as you have to do when you're preparing a sermon, discover that he threw a party for all the tax collectors. Now, we don't know whether Zacchaeus was amongst that group of disciples, of tax collectors there, but maybe his Zacchaeus had met Jesus on that occasion. But Zacchaeus was keen to see Jesus. Zacchaeus had heard all about Jesus. He'd heard about the miracles. Somebody again suggests that maybe Zacchaeus was keen to join, in a sense, to see what the opposition was going to be like, because this was the crowd about to be involved in overthrowing the Roman Empire, the Roman occupation. And Zacchaeus was looking out to see what the opposition was like. That's why he was keen to see Jesus. I don't know why. We don't know why he was keen to see Jesus, but he was keen. His curiosity. Maybe it was his conscience pricking him when he realized that the life he was leading wasn't what it should have been. Verse 7, all the people saw this. What did they do? Began to mutter. Anybody here ever been guilty of muttering? Put up your hand. Anybody know that they shouldn't be muttering? Yes. But here was a crowd muttering. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. You know, as if Jesus shouldn't have anything to do with that sort of alcoholic, that drug addict, that filthy rich person. Jesus shouldn't have anything to do with those people, should he? He should deal with nice people like me. The gospel's for everybody, from the lowest to the highest. And this again is what we're being taught here through this story of Jesus meeting with Zacchaeus. Don't mutter. Don't mutter. Don't mutter. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor." See, it was immediate. You know, the response to the gospel should be immediate. It's not something we go away, in a sense, and ponder, although obviously there's a time. But to make a decision to follow Jesus, to make a decision to say, right, well, I'm going to do that. You know, when we look at the needs that exist in Nepal, when we look at the needs that exist within the Mediterranean, within Syria, as we have prayed already, God's calling us to care for these people. We are exceptionally wealthy in this country. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will repay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, "Today is salvation." See, again, today, it's immediate. Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. Did any of you remember that when you're retelling it? Today, this man is a son of Abraham. Why does Jesus use that phrase, a son of Abraham? What's he saying? You see, Zacchaeus probably had deserted his faith in order to work for the occupation, to work for the Romans. He said, let's do aside with all this faith stuff, and I'm going to earn loads of money, and I'm going to work for the occupation. And so what would the other people within Jericho think of Zacchaeus? He's no good. He's not one of us. And what's Jesus saying? Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. What does that mean? What would that mean to the people who were hearing Jesus speak to Zacchaeus? Today, this man has become a son of Abraham. He's back in the family. So you've got to welcome him in. You know, and sometimes it's difficult to welcome people that we don't like into our family, but we need to do that. We need to go out and make sure they come. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You see, Jesus again is there. That's what he came for. Why Son of Man? Where does that phrase come from? Again, all these are things that, as we carefully look at the scriptures, these are phrases that I've found in doing this sort of talk the word where you try and remember the exact words, you kind of say, well, why does Jesus say Son of Man? What's the significance of that? Why doesn't it say, you know, for I came to seek and to save the lost? Why does it say the Son of Man? Jesus often, in a sense, he never claims outright that I am the Messiah. He doesn't say that. But there's always hints given. And the Son of Man would refer back to a section in Daniel's prophecy, where that again is looking at, and very obviously in chapter 7, verse 13, where it speaks about the Son of Man having these messianic, these divine abilities. And so he's referring back, and they would know that. So he's saying, here, this is what I've come to do, to seek and to save the lost. And he's doing the same today, whether it's the blind beggar, whether it's Zacchaeus, whether it's folk here this morning. He's come to seek and to save the lost. I think you could say that passage now accurately again. We'll do it once more. I'll just go through the passage, and then you've got to try and... So the other person's got to tell it this time, okay? All right. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately, for I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will repay four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. For this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Okay? So I'll give you just a couple of minutes to do that. And then... Okay, I think we'll leave it there. What I think this does in trying to memorize Scripture is the way in which Scripture is passed down. It's the way in which people would have talked about it. It's the way that happens in many countries even now, where they're unable to read, and they depend upon people telling them the stories. It's passed down orally. We've lost something of that ability because we have access to easy access to the Scriptures, that we don't tend to memorize it. We used to, you remember in Sunday school, do you get your memory verses? You know, I'm not sure whether that's still happening. I know it does in certain churches, but how often do we go and try and memorize Scripture, as in a sense what we've been trying to do a little bit this morning? So I hope that's been helpful. I hope it's helped us to slow down, look carefully at the Scriptures. It's the sort of thing you can do with any passages. And it's something that I've enjoyed doing. There's a booklet, I haven't got them with me, called Talk the Word, that's available from the Scottish Bible Society or from Walk Through the Bible organisation. But it's, again, gives some hints on how that can be done. But I hope you found that helpful.